because I'm going to give you full accountability today. Full disclosure. When I knew this passage of scripture was coming up, I was going to skip it. Honest. 50 years nearly in the ministry, listening to hundreds, thousands of other pastors, knowing that what we have done sometimes is taking scriptures, particularly scriptures we're uncomfortable with, and we make jokes out of them. Yes, my husband's the head of a house, but I'm the neck that turns the head. Those kind of things. You see, if you really look at the Word of God, God didn't play any tricks or any jokes. God is about the only person that doesn't waste words. What he says, he means, and he means what he says. There's no hidden meaning. He has one agenda, that the world would come to Christ. And yet we do these silly things, particularly when we live in a world that wants to change things. It's changed everything that you can think of. But one thing we fail to realize, and I want you to understand this, the gospel's not been changed. And some Christians act like that the stupidity and the garbage that's going on in the world has somehow changed God's mind or changed the scripture. I have very good news for you. It's not changed. That is the platinum standard of God. And that's what we're held accountable for. So I begin to pray and just say, God, I want to see something I've never seen in the scripture. Because I pray that every time I preach a passage of scripture. But I really bore down on it because I wanted to see, as you can see, it's more than one place in here. What was the issue? And as I begin to study and pray and think about it, it seems to me, and this is not surprising, that before the fall, okay? You know, if you read the first verse of the first chapter of Genesis, the world was out any form. It was empty. It was dark. It was chaotic. It was nothing but uncontrolled chaos. But a beautiful word picture at the end of that first verse says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You know, I pray every time we preach, the Spirit of God is hovering here. I pray that God will speak into lives, kick open doors, encourage, because this battle is far from over. We are going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to stay strong. We're going to stay faithful. That, I think, is why the scriptures record that those that preserve, persevere to the end will be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the way of salvation, but that's a picture of salvation, crossing that finish line, receiving that imperishable crown that God has for us, finishing strong. So as I begin to look at this anew and fresh, I had new glasses, so maybe I looked at it with fresh eyes. New eye, who knows? It seemed that before the fall, God put into place conditions for a unified and orderly world. God is the God of order. And so when you look at this, how he handled this. The first unit, he created man. He created woman. And he performed the first marriage ceremony, told them to go and replenish the earth. And he set up the family unit as this first crowning of creation. And he did it for a reason, for order and for unity. And so, you know, even before the new found, the only thing I'm going to say about this today is that God didn't perform, didn't create Eve and Evelyn, and he didn't create Adam and Fred, okay? That was not the marriage ceremony. Adam and Eve were the first and only participants outside of God of this marriage ceremony, okay? God put the family together. And so in order to escape the order, the disunity, the chaos in the world, he set some things up. And what he set up was that there would be order in the family unit, which brings us to today's passage of Scripture. We're looking in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 21 through 33. If you have your iPads, iPhone, if you have your Bible, I prefer paper, but if whatever you got, you turn there, this is what it says. Paul is finishing up really the other part of what he said earlier about talking to each other with hymns and praises and all. And he simply says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Reverence. You reverence God when you obey God. You reverence him by obeying God. He says things for a reason. And whether we understand them or not, we do this. So he talks about a mutual submission. Now, the first thing that pops in our mind in the 21st century is, if I submit to someone, they're going to take advantage of me, okay? Here's what you need to understand. God's got your back. And just because you think somebody will get you if you don't obey God, here's the thing. Don't worry about some man or woman that's going to get you. You worry about God getting you, okay? I mean, you put that into perspective. I don't care who's after me. I don't want God, right? It's out of reverence. He saved my rotten soul. He gave me a new hope in life. Every day he's up with me. He's encouraging me. He's leading me. So our call is a mutual submission, and I want you to try to get a picture in your mind of what this world would look like in mutual submission to God. You see, that's what God had in mind until sin came in. Next verse. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. There is no joke. There's no ifs, ands, buts. Wives, submit, which simply means you out of respect for the head, your head, which is the man, you are going to submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, there is this, you do not have to submit to a husband that wants to lead you into sin. Okay? That's not a caveat, that's not an excuse, because right here it says, as you do to the Lord. The Lord is not going to lead you into sin, is he? No. So, as you submit yourself to your husband, as you do to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. A sure sign of a woman who does not submit herself to a godly husband is the fact she's not submitting herself to the Lord. Okay? That's the gospel. Next verse. For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is Savior. Hold that. Understand. There is absolutely no classifications of Christians. How many times have you heard or said, that person's a good Christian? Have you ever heard? That's called an oxymoron. There's no such thing as good Christian, bad Christian. You're a Christian, okay? Now, in that, there is absolutely no differences in the value or the worth of the man and the female. They are the same. The only difference is their role and their function. Now, if you want to look at it another way, Paul used the illustration of the body. And he said, if every body part was an eye, it'd be a goofy looking thing, right? That's in my commentary, okay? So in our body, which is the body of Christ, there's different functions for every piece of our body. And the only difference in the eyes of God between a male and a female, a husband and a wife, is the role and the functions, and government does not make those roles and functions. Thank you very much. Neither does any outlaw churches. Okay? Got that good? Amen. That should have been a bunch of amens, especially from somebody. All right. Now, as the church, which submits to Christ, so also the wife should submit to their husbands in everything. I want you to notice something that I've never heard. I had a lady point out to me. Did you know that the Bible, when God is speaking about this unit, the main unit of what the whole world is going to be made up of? And he began to put in roles and functions. And he planned it for unity and order. He told the wife to submit, but he never told the wife to obey her husband. Now think about it a minute. Now I know you say, well, you're playing in words, submit means obey. No, because he does not tell children to submit to their parents. He uses a completely different word and says, children, obey your parents. So even in the language of what God is saying, he's not speaking down to women. And invariably, when we read this passage, the first thing that pops up is, I'm not going to obey my husband. Well, God didn't tell you to. He said, submit. So understand that. That's a difference. We're talking role function. We're talking order, okay? All right, let's go on. Husbands, love your wives. Not with flowers and chocolates, okay? Love your wife with an agape love. And when you want to know what agape love is, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's all action, it's all giving, it's all mutual submitting. Because we love our wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Okay? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. You know what I thought about when I read this? Husbands, don't put no wrinkles in your wife's face. Especially them frowny wrinkles. Makeup won't even take that away. All right, here we go. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? Because he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed it and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound ministry. And I'm talking about Christ and the church. Remember that verse. So, God designed order in the family unit by doing this. He also had decided order in the entire world, in society. Colossians 3, I'll pick up with verse 18. Here we go again. Wives, submit yourselves to the husband as is fitting or as it should be in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Hold that. Can you see how from this family unit we are forming society, okay? As our children go out, they are submitting, obeying children who become submitting and obeying adults. And the cycle goes over and over and over. And that's God's whole idea, okay? Go ahead. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Now, listen, you're not going to learn how to be a father that doesn't embitter your children by reading Dr. Seuss, okay? And I know I'm talking to a lot of people that have already raised their children, but some of you've got grandchildren, and some of you are like me. When you waited so long for a granddaughter and she shows up, you just hand her your wallet. Whatever you want, darling, everything be okay. You see, we don't treat our grandchildren or great-grands like we did our children. I've been faced by my three sons. Daddy, you never treated me like that. And so I always come up with a good answer. And y'all have to figure out your own. It's whatever pops in my mind at the time. But you know what I mean. If you are a godly father and your children know that you love them, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they know that you want the very, very best for them. You do not want them to be harmed in any way. Listen, children and teenagers even and young adults really know they're not the smartest thing on the face of this earth. Because every day, if you remember when we were that age, we were faced with our own stupidity. Amen? Amen. When you know and they know those parents, those grandparents, those great-grandparents love them and want the best for them, those children will obey and they'll follow you. And that divine order will continue to work. All right, let's slaves. Because at that time, there were slaves. Not the same type that we had back earlier. Different circumstances. Slavery was a mode of work. Many people sold themselves into slaves because they had no money, they had no crops, they had nowhere to live, so they sold themselves into slavery. They became as part of the house, but they were slaves. And they were told, obey your masters. Okay? Order in society, in everything. And do not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Understand that in your job, folks. Where Paul would tell us, as we work, do everything unto the Lord. Don't cause your boss undue trouble. Be the best, most dependable person that he has in your employ. Why? Because all of these things that God has set up, when we begin to act and live in this manner, all of a sudden there's a division between believers in the world and unbelievers because we follow Christ. And unity and order follows us. That's why he set this up, okay? Okay. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. This is talking about your master, your boss. If they do wrong, they're going to pay for the wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you have a master in heaven. So that's the balance in society. Okay? That goes on. All right. Where are we getting this? Did God just wake up one day and say, well, I know that Eve is going to blow it. She's going to eat that fruit. She's going to talk her husband into it. And this world's going to be cast back in chaos. So I'm going to say to her, submit to your husband. Not true at all. Not true at all. There is a divine order. In the First Corinthians chapter 11 of verse 3, God tells us, what is the divine order? He says, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. You got that? Christ, man. All right, next verse. And the head of every woman is the man, Christ, man, woman. And the head of Christ is God. God, Christ, man, woman. It's all there is, guys. All there is. And he set this divine order up for a reason. When you go on to read that chapter, it talks about being a covering. God was a covering for Christ. Christ submitted to God and laid down all of the attributes of glory, laid them down and said, okay, I'm going to earth and I'm going to be one of those human beings that you created. And he came to earth. He was lower than an angel. He suffered being one of us. And then he died on a cross because of our sins. And by the way, I was thinking about this morning. I've heard people say my sins were nailed to the cross. How many of you watched Truth or Consequences? That's Beulah the Buzzer, okay? That's not right. Our sins were placed on Jesus. Jesus was placed on the cross. Right theology. Jesus submitted to God. God was his covering. Okay? Man, you are the covering for your wife. Okay? Now, I know that sometimes women are smarter and stronger than men. We know all of that. I've heard all of that stuff. Okay? It still comes down to what God said. If you want that life, that even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of ungodly stuff, if you want a life that is in unity and in order and in peace, follow how God set it up. Amen? That's how he set it up. So, what is the basic teaching? Okay? See, I've not told any husband what you need to do, the Bible we've read. What's the basic teaching? Look at verse 31 of Ephesians. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. Okay, that's okay. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And I did not give you verse 32. My bad. See, I do that every week because many of you think I'm perfect. And I would never want that to be the case, okay? All right, here's my verse. What is the purpose of this? This is a profound mystery. Okay? What's the mystery? I'm talking about Christ and the church. This is a witness to the world that Christians are the bride of Christ. And that when he says to us, husbands, be loving, be purifying, be protective, be caring for your wife, that is a mural to the world of what Christ does for us in the loving, the purifying, the giving. We are that bride. And he adorns for himself. He doesn't beat up the bride, okay? He takes care of the bride. I'm going to try to remember this illustration I heard years ago. Okay, this may be hard, but I love it. In this foreign country, in the culture, they would sell their daughters to people. And women were measured by the number of cows that they brought, okay? And so that measured the man's wealth. Unfortunately, this man had one daughter, and let's just say bless her heart, all right? Bless her heart. She had to sneak up on a glass of water, okay? And he couldn't get her married off. And so this guy's going in debt. You can't get her married off. So one day this stranger comes in town, asks this man for his wife's hand in marriage. The guy said, okay, just give me a calf. The guy said, no, I'm going to give you 10 cows, which represented an enormous amount of wealth. The guy said, no, no, no. He's afraid the guy was going to back out. He said, no, no, no. One calf. I don't need more cow. 10 cows. So he agreed, and they were married. They came back into town after a year. And the father thought the man had got rid of his daughter because she was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. And so the father drawed him aside and he said, I got to ask you, what happened? That doesn't look like the daughter that left with you. The man said this. If you want a 10-cow woman, treat her like a 10-cow woman. He said, all I did was love her. And you see, that's how Christ loves us. Too many people have this picture that when you do wrong, God in heaven draws back a hammer. Not at all. He sends down grace because he loves us. He wants to purify us. He wants us to work and move towards that new creation in Christ. Husbands, and that submitting wife, treat her like a 10-cow woman. Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for these teachings. And I immediately, Lord, I have to repent that I've not times treated my wife fully like you treat me. And for that, I ask you to forgive me. Let that be a part of my life. Father, if there's a person here today that has never experienced their salvation through Jesus Christ, they know that they're missing something in their life. They're either sitting here in these seats or they're listening online. Lord, let them know that right now you're the way, the truth, and the life. The only way, only truth, only life. Confess our sins, repent of our sins, come to Christ and be baptized that our sins be washed away. Maybe there needs to be some repentance going on. Lord, we're going to have people up front that will pray with you, with them. We have room 3 if you want to talk privately. But Lord, do something in the lives of our people. That Father, the order and unity that you love, that you created, when the world, maybe that simply the world we live in, that would be the law of the land. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.